Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Welcome to HRN on Tour at Charleston Wine and Food 2022. I'm Christine Sykes-Lowe, and today we are broadcasting live from the heart of Culinary Village. I am here with Chef Lamar, an award-winning Haitian-born chef and the host of the Luda Can't Cook series on Discovery Plus, with award-winning rapper, actor, restaurateur Chris Ludacris Bridges. He is also a contestant of the Food Network's hit series Cutthroat Kitchen and Chopped, as well as the co-owner and executive chef of Sensory Delights, a full-service catering company based out of South Florida. Welcome, Alan.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Yes, so good to see you and run into you last night briefly. This is great to have you join us today. So you wrapped up, last night you wrapped up Fire, Smoke, and Soul.
Yes, we did, yes.
So, as the guest chef of the Haitian cooking involves quite a bit of fire technique. So
yes.
What did that evening entail?
That evening entailed us cooking an open fire. You know, whether we're using charcoal, smokers, or fire on wood. So it was kind of bringing the old traditional street food vibes from different parts of the diaspora, the African diaspora, back to this event.
Sounds amazing. Was it a big crowd?
Yes, we did have a good turnout. There was over 70, 80 people there. So it was fun. People had a good time. Lots of food, lots of drinks.
That's the perfect amount, too, for
yes.
people to be able to get a little up close and personal with the chefs.
Definitely.
And enjoy themselves. So how would you describe Haitian food to someone who has never tried it?
I like to use these three terms: bold, fresh, and your face. Right? We're very accustomed to using fresh ingredients, and it's the way that we spice our food, the blend of ingredients that we use to season them, the techniques of cooking it too. We do have a great array of food that is slow cooked, right? We do have some fried goods also, but I would say that our main thing is slow braised.
Slow cooking.
Yes.
And a lot of French and African influence.
Yes, French, African influence, Spanish influence. We also have some Middle Eastern influence also.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm part Lebanese.
Okay.
I like that.
So
like
we
that.
Do have that. Yeah, we have kibbeh. Like, kibbeh is very popular in Haiti. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So growing up, I kibbeh, my relatives, it was basically beef tartare.
Yes.
I mean, in a sense. Now you see it a little bit more in the cooked variety, or they'll have, you know.
Yeah,
so
the,
what is the Haitian form? What
well,
is that like?
we do have some that where they do it the pretty much, you know, the tartare.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the one where they do the quenelle, the football shaped one.
Right.
Right, with burger wheat, lamb, spices inside of it. It's so popular because it is something that you will find at any party in Haiti and even here in the States.
And something you can just pick up and sustain yourself
yes,
on for a while.
Definitely.
So are there any favorite dishes of yours or unusual dishes that you encourage people to try?
Of Haitian food?
Yes. Or really any. I mean.
Okay. So let's go on Haitian cuisine a little bit. So I say fried goat, which I did last night at the event.
Okay.
I just love gamey meat. So to me, that's my number one to go to. We do also have our pumpkin soup that we do. It's called a soup jumeau. Mm. It's a soup that we did to celebrate, commemorate our independence.
And what's the preparation for that? Because I love pumpkin.
Yeah, it's we use this variety of pumpkin. It's called calabaza squash. And, you know, boil it, blend it, make it into a soup form. And then we add also, you know, root vegetables like potatoes, turnips, carrots, some cabbages.
Is it cream-based or broth-based?
No, it's broth-based.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Broth-based. And some people add some proteins. The traditional protein would be beef. And along the years, as people wanted to add more things to make it sustainable because, you know, it's all we have when we celebrate our independence, which is on January 1st. So they started adding some pasta to it also. So, like, you know, so you can not get hungry too fast, right?
Right. Fill you up.
Yeah. Outside of the Haitian cuisine, I just love Korean cuisine.
Me too.
Right. I love Italian cuisine too because to me it's so fresh and so vibrant. So I love that.
I agree. Lots of fresh ingredients. I was in Italy right before the pandemic, and I did some of those experiential immersion type things. And we did truffle hunting, and we made pasta, fresh pasta, and cooked it with the truffles. And yeah, there's nothing quite like it. So much good food out there. So I think I read somewhere where you have several women in your family that were personal influences on you growing up towards cooking.
Yes. So the funny side about it is they did not teach me how to cook. I watched them cooking so I could jump in the kitchen and cook myself. My mom and my grandma. So when I was growing up, you know, back home, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. So there's no in between or whenever you want. So you have to, everybody has to eat with everybody together, and that's how it was. So me, you know, I've always loved food. So I'm like, man, I want to be able to eat what I want when I want. So I just started paying attention to them, what they were doing, every step, without knowing why.
Right.
So I just knew that, okay, this is what I have to do. So I just followed the steps. And as the years went by, I started growing more passionate about it because then I started cooking for my friends. And my friends were like, oh, man, you need to take this to the next level.
Right.
And I did.
That's wonderful. If they were anything like my grandmothers, they shooed me out of the kitchen. I remember that quite frequently. And to just talking about, just don't get in my way. You know, maybe you can look, maybe not get
but
in my way.
The funny part is that me growing in a Haitian household in Haiti, it was not really something popular for men to be in the kitchen. Right? If you look into the Caribbean or the Afro community, women are more in the kitchen than men.
Mm-hmm.
But worldwide, it's a male-dominated industry.
True. Very true. So you competed on Chopped Meat Fight. Goat edition.
Yes.
And, you know, just a minute ago you said one of your things you would recommend is fried goat. I admit I've never tried goat. How would you describe it to somebody?
Okay. I would say goat is the cousin of lamb, right? But a little more tough, a little more gamey, right? So that's why whenever we do goat, in our techniques, we braise it for a while so we can break down the muscles, tissues, and everything. And then after that, whatever you want to do with it, you do it with.
Lots of spices,
mm-hmm. you know, fresh herbs, citrus, a lot of hot peppers, right? Yeah, it's just this amazing explosion of flavors. That's the best way I can describe it.
And what did you prepare for that competition?
Well, for that competition, so every step we had to do goat in a different form, right? So the appetizer had to be a goat. So they give us these four quarters, this whole four quarters of leg of goat.
That's a lot of goat.
And we had 20 minutes to do it, which is literally impossible. So you had to just figure out a certain way to make it at least edible.
Right, yeah. Because that kind of takes out the slow braising.
Yeah, slow braising. Part of it. So I the first one I did a crostini because So in CHOP, they give you these odd ingredients that normally you wouldn't pair together. So they give us this this kind of dulce de leche roll, right? So I had to use it as a crostini. And I tried to cook the goat down as much as possible. And I topped it off with kind of a goat aioli.
Oh, so a little
cheese aioli.
A little sweet and savory.
Savory, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And pickled shallots.
That sounds delicious. I think I would try that. Definitely, if you were cooking it. So in regard to the Discovery Plus show with Ludacris.
Yes.
If I am correct, was it the actual premiere episode that you...
Yes.
Okay.
So, so he had a first episode that they did, the pilot, and it aired last year, and I guess the network liked the reception he got for it, so they wanted to do more episodes. And my episode, which is called A Taste of Haiti, was one of the first episodes that aired when the new season started.
So what was it like working with him?
It was surreal.
How did you even get involved in it?
Somebody slid in my DMs. I guess they were looking for chefs through Instagram. You know, I guess it's one of the best ways to get judged. And they sent me a message. At first, I thought it was a hoax. But something told me, you know what, reply back, what can hurt? And I tried, and I replied back. So we went through the whole process of, you know, interviews, phone conversations, emails, and everything. And at the end, they told me that they wanted to go with me as the lead chef for the episode. And working with him was surreal because, you know, you see him on the TV, on the big screen, you hear their music, and to be standing right there with them, and he's a very down-to-earth person. He's really cool. He loves food. He loves culture.
And the irony is, as I'm understanding it, is the name of the show is Luda Can't Cook, but he actually can cook.
Yes.
He's actually a really good cook.
Yes.
So... Well, that's fantastic. Are you going to be doing any more with him on that?
Not right now. I'm not sure yet. But I have also some other shows lined up with the Food Network coming up.
Oh, okay. So, anything you can tease us on? Under wraps for now.
Under wraps for now.
Okay. Well, then we'll have to definitely keep an eye out.
Yes.
One other thing I saw that was interesting is that you did a Haitian dinner at the James Beard House.
Yes, yes.
With seven other chefs.
Yes.
So that was, what year was that? 20?
That was 2017.
Okay.
Yes, 2017. It was the first Haitian-themed dinner at the James Beard House. And it was seven of us. And each person did a different course.
Okay.
And it was just an amazing experience, man. It was, I would say it was electric, because being in that house and knowing the history and everybody else that did dinners at the house, and for us to be able to do it. And we did it also on the Haitian Flag Day.
Oh, okay.
Right, so we were celebrating our Flag Day, so we did it at the same time.
So it was a big Haitian celebration.
Yes.
That sounds amazing. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
No, thank you very much for having me.
And I hope to, you know, run into you again and be able to experience your cooking. Thanks again for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to HRN's live coverage of Charleston Wine and Food Festival. I'm Christine Sykes-Lowe. We're grateful to the festival for having HRN back in the Culinary Village for the 6-year running. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, Heritage Radio Network On Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.